You know, just like when you apply to come as a visitor, they'll put in your visitor's visa. They'll also put in your passport, the immigrant visa. And that immigrant visa has an expiration. It's 6 months.
Oh.
So you have to make sure you come into America within those 6 months. If you don't, that's it. It's over for you.
Wow.
So you really have to plan. You know, like once you're selected, you've got a lot of time, almost a year. You've got almost another year to, you know, just think of things, talk to friends, you know, find how you're going to prove that, you know, when you get here, you've got somewhere to start from. So you've got all this time. To be honest with you, for me, I'm such a planner. I'm such a planner. So immediately I knew that, okay, I've been picked. My mind was at work. How am I going to do everything mapped out? Because I didn't want to risk getting disqualified or things not working out. So you really don't be a last minute person when it comes to this process.
Is Assorted Immigrant Stories podcast. My name is Zenith Mwangahamambamalao, and I am your host. And for those of you that are stopping by for the very first time, this is a podcast about immigrant journeys, the things I and others wish we knew. We have interviews and share conversations with immigrants from diverse backgrounds and countries as they share their own immigration stories. We explore struggles, triumphs, and cultural adjustments. We discuss identity, belonging, and community, and we also highlight successes and contributions to both American society and back home, and that's wherever home might be. We also review some books that touch on the immigrant story. So don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from. Welcome. On today's episode, I have Miss Adeline Musheba Mukelavai. That's a Lozi name, Adeline. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes. I'm Lozi. I'm Adeline. Actually, my Lozi name is Musheba. But as you can tell from my surname Mukelavai, that's definitely Lozi. I'm a proud Lozi girl.
Mutozichwani.
Luarutozhani mtozichwani minakafo.
All right. So Adeline, just like me, is from Zambia. And today she's going to grace us with her story of how she came to America, how she found out about the DV lottery and what the transition was like for her. All right. So Adeline, tell us a bit about your childhood.
So I was born in Mongo, and eventually we moved to Livingstone. And that's where I spent most of my childhood. So I left Livingstone when I was going to my 14th year, like 14 years old. And I really enjoyed my childhood. You know, our generation, you know, the 80s, we played so much outside. You know, we had friends in the neighborhood. We played hide and seek, which in Zambia, I mean, in Nyanja, we call it chidunu. We played game, you know, where you throw the ball at each other, and if it hits you, you're out of the game. I mean, we just did a lot of stuff. We went to the bush sometimes, would climb mountains. Of course, we didn't know at that time that it's called hiking. So we just used to, you know, go up the mountains, pick some fruits. So, I mean, it was just a very good childhood. It was a very good childhood, and I really enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it.
Chidunu, start, ego.
Yes, ego. When it rains, you play ego, you play touch, you play that game, is it draw country, something like that. I mean, we just had so much going on. You know, I played with my friends, my siblings. I have a sibling that is 2 years older than me. So, you know, we're close in age. Then I have one that's 7 years older than me. So we just kind of like played together and we enjoyed our childhood. In fact, in 2022, I was back in Zambia visiting family. So I actually took my son to where my life started, because it just means so much to me. So I took him to the home we lived in, where I grew up, the streets where we played. I told him we played outside, not on the TV, not glued to the video games, you know, like it is nowadays. I took him to the falls, and I just gave him a feel of, you know, where his mom comes from, and I was so proud of it.
That was wonderful, because your trip is what also inspired me to take my son. So last year in 2023, I traveled with my son and I did the same thing. We went to Monze, went to the village, went to all the grave sites of all the ancestors. And it was as though my son belonged, as though he knew he belonged there. Mm-hmm. He just ran around and played, ate the soil, everything. But it was nice because I wanted to know, where are we from? Even for myself, to get a sense of that history, myself asking my aunt and my great-grand, you know, parent, grand aunts or grand uncles. My grandparents are all gone now, but their siblings are still there. And I was able to ask those questions. That's wonderful. And Livingstone, that Mushiba is talking about, is usually like our tourist capital for Zambia. There are many other beautiful places as well in Zambia now that you can go to, but that's one of the places, because that's where the Victoria Falls, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, is that is
Livingstone. Yes.
So you were right there in the tourist capital. Okay, so you were there until 10th grade, right?
No, until I was going into ninth grade. Ninth grade.
So then where did you move?
That's when we left. We moved to Mpika.
Okay.
We moved to Mpika because my dad worked for World Vision. Okay. And World Vision, you know, they're always transferring their employees around. So he was transferred to Mpika, and that's where we all moved. And then I went to Lwitkila Girls up until 12th grade. Then we left Mpika and moved to Lusaka. And so my family is now settled in Lusaka. So when I go to Zambia, I go to Lusaka.
Okay. So for people who are not from Zambia, who may not understand, Mpika is kind of like in the north, right?
Well, it used to be part of the Northern Province, but now it's part of Muchinga Province.
Okay,
the new province. When they included the 10th province, it moved into Muchinga Province. So it's Muchinga Province, but really the culture is, you know, northern, and all that comes with the northern side of Zambia.
Okay, so from the Southern Province to the north and then back to central in Lusaka, which is the capital city. And how So you moved to Lusaka, and how old are you at this point?
16. Okay. So I completed my 12th grade when I was 16. I started school when I was 5.
Oh, you were one of those very smart ones.
I think so. I always tell my son I completed school when I was 16. I was kind of like always the youngest. But yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went to Lusaka when I was 16, and that's where I actually did my college. So I went to Zika. So that was 2001 when we moved to Lusaka. Then 2003, I started college at Zika, where I studied ACCA. That, you know, made me into the accountant that I am today.
Oh, wow. So did you complete the ACCA?
Yes, I did. There's so many people that sometimes feel intimidated by ACCA, you know, when they hear stories of how hard it is, how long it sometimes takes some people to finish. But I think with dedication, especially when you're young, you know, it's something that you can achieve. And so I encourage young ones out there, even those that still want to pursue, you know, a career in accounting, it's never too late. You can always go and give it a try. So ACCA is the short for Association of Certified Chartered Accountants. It's kind of like the CPA. It's kind of equivalent to the CPA here in America, but it's from Britain. Right. It's headquartered in London. Yes, and it does produce quite good accountants that go out into the world and make the mark.
Right. Absolutely. It is very difficult. It's very difficult.
Yes.
You have to be very smart to complete that thing. You see that when you finish high school at 16-year-old. Yeah. I called it. And to complete that, because those are very difficult courses. And kudos to you that you completed. But like you say, people should be encouraged with hard work and dedication. You can certainly complete it. Now, so you go to Zikas, you finish your ACCA, but tell me, so when did the idea about America, because we want to know how you found yourself here, when did the first idea about America come to you?
So, you know, for me, I always tell people that I know there are people out there that really, really have a big desire to relocate. Like when you ask them, where do you see your life? They'll just tell you, I can see myself in America. I can see myself in Australia. Like they just have that passion to move and, you know, go and explore life elsewhere. But for me, it was not like that. For me, it was not like that. I was always comfortable in Zambia. I do love traveling. I do love traveling. And I knew that at some point in my life, I would want to really travel and see the rest of the world because I love exploring. So it never really used to be part of my thoughts or my dreams or my plans to ever relocate. And which is why everybody took it as a joke when I told them at that point, when I told them that I think I'm going to move to America, because I just never, ever talked about it. So what happened was, you know, after Zikas, I started my accounting career. Then in the last 5 years before I moved here, I worked for a company called Better Now Finance. So, you know, I was always busy. I was working as the controller. And at some point, I just needed time off. I just needed time off. And I just wanted to rest, go to a place where, you know, they won't call me back and ask me this, come and sign a check, come and do this. And so there's a program at the church that I used to go to in Zambia, Miracle Life. So it's a conference that the pastors of Miracle Life usually attend here in the United States in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they did their preaching courses. You know, the church that's in Tulsa, Oklahoma is somehow connected to the church that's in Lusaka. So a friend of mine was like, you know what, since you really want to take a break, I'm also tired. She was studying PhD at that time. She's like, I'm also tired. I need time off. So why don't we go to this conference then? You know, we can go there, you know, attend the conference, then we can visit around in America and just, you know, relax, recharge, then come back to Zambia. So I was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And so I was just fired up, you know, just fired up. I'm like, yeah, let's go. So that's how we came to America. This was September 2015. So when we came here, we just had a good time. You know, we went to the conference in Tulsa. Then after that, we had some time, you know, we went to Texas, we went to Minnesota, we just went, you know, to different places. And I don't know, it was like a light bulb, you know, it was just like a switch in me that I just kind of felt like, you know what, I can see myself here. It's something that I can't even really, really explain, but I just got this huge desire that was just like that. And I'm like, you know what, I can see myself living here. I actually love it here. And that's how I started thinking, huh, what if I moved to America? So when I went back to Zambia, this was now October. So this was now October when we returned back to Zambia, early October. And so I started thinking, I think I should go to America. I think, you know, life would be okay. And, you know, I told my family, this is what I'm thinking of doing. And they thought I was joking. I told a couple friends, this is what I'm thinking of doing. And they're like, you've never talked about relocating. Like, where's all this coming from? I was like, you know what? I just really enjoyed my time in America, and I'm going to do it. So that's how I started asking people, like, how do people go to America? You know, what ways can you, you know, like, what channels can you use to go to America legally? Because I didn't want to do, you know, sometimes it's a tough journey sometimes when you come here, you know, and you don't really have, you know, like the required documentation. And so I had heard of the green card before, but it's not something that was in my mind at that time. It was not something that was in my mind at that time. So I asked this one gentleman that lives in Texas. His name is Mr. Chilero Kakanwa. He's somebody I knew from way back when I was growing up in Livingston. And he's lived in Texas for quite a long time. So I asked him and he told me, oh yeah, you can apply for the green card. It's actually running right now. And this is the link to, so like I said, it was October. Just like right now, it's, you know, it's running and it's early October. So he gave me the link and I sat with the link. Then I have another friend that moved to Minnesota through the green card. I tried to talk to her about it. She was like, oh, yeah, give it a try, you know. But then I sat with it and I was like, should I do it? Should I do it? Then on the last day, and people shouldn't do this. People shouldn't do this. Don't wait for the last day because it will put you in a panic mode. You can miss the deadline. You can get it wrong with the photo because the photo is very important. It can get you disqualified. So that's how I said, okay, I think I'm just going to do it because this is the last day and, you know, I just don't want to regret it. So that's how I got up, went to pick up my son. I'm a mother of one. And we went to the studio, took the pictures, came back, sat down, and we applied. And the following year, when the results were out, boom, I was picked. And so that's how my journey to getting ready to America started. And like I said, everybody thought I was joking. But I told them, look, I've actually won the green card. You know,
played that lottery for 10 years. I was never lucky. I was here though, so I had other paths, obviously, you know, getting in nursing and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, even as a student, you still want that because you're paying so much money as an international student and you just dream of just becoming a resident like right now. So, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I do encourage everybody in Zambia, and like she said, right now the DV lottery is running. It will run until November 5. Take your time, go to the studios. Most people, I think, know what the picture looks like. Take those pictures and take your chances. Apply, and if you maybe just want to come and see this world just for a little bit. Wow, that was wonderful. Okay, so you win the green card. So tell me, from the time you saw that you won, just walk me through that process and the costs, if you remember.
Yes, I think I actually do remember because, so once you win, once you're selected, you receive a letter that has all the instructions. So if you take your time to go through that letter, it can be a little bit tedious, but you, at the end of the day, you get it, you know. So I went through the letter, followed all the instructions. I went online, filled out the application, attached everything that they asked for. So they'll ask for things like medicals. You have to go. They have selected hospitals that you can do your medicals from. At that time, for me, it was Lusaka Trust. So you go and do your medicals. You get your police clearance. I mean, it just lists out everything that they need, your birth certificate. And one important thing about the green card that I always tell people is you have to include your kids. If you're married, you have to include your spouse. Even if you don't have any plans of bringing your spouse with you for, you know, marriage is not easy. If you don't have plans of moving together, as long as you're not divorced, you have to include your spouse. And your spouse has to decline at the interview if you are picked. Otherwise, if you don't include them, it can be a ground of disqualification once they find out. So anyway, yeah, so I went through all the instructions, gathered everything that was asked of me, you know, police clearance, the medicals, the birth certificate, my school, you know, credentials, just everything. And so I submitted the application. Of course, it's not everything that you attach. Most of it, you carry it with you when you go to the interview. And up until that point, the process is free. The process is free. But of course, you have to pay when you go for your medicals, when you go and get a police report, and any other document that you might need to get in preparation. And so I did that, submitted the application. I submitted the application around May, and I only head back in November. If I remember correctly, I only head back in November, and they gave me an appointment for January. So the initial application was October 2015. I head back May 2016. I submitted the application, and then I head back again November. Then the appointment was for January 2017.
Wow.
And so the day, you know, I mean, some people are intimidated by the embassy, but trust me, they're just human, like everybody else. Just go there, be confident, have everything that you need. Make sure everything you have is legal. Make sure there are no shortcuts. You know, just follow all the instructions. And one thing that happened to me, which I want everybody to pay attention to who intends to do this process, is you really have to be careful with your documents. Your names have to match. Everything has to match. All your documentation has to match. So for me, My son had a passport, which I used to travel, you know, with him around. But I never paid attention that his name was not spelled, his last name was not spelled correctly until when I went for the medicals. Because the people that do the medicals, since they are selected by the embassy, they know the exact procedure. So they're the ones who brought it to my attention and told me, wait a minute, your child's birth certificate and your child's passport are not matching. I had to get into a panic mode because I now had to get a new passport. Because, you know, in America, they will not let it pass. They will not let it pass. Your names have to match. So you have to be very careful with your with all your documentation so that it doesn't cost you time. Because you see how long you have to wait for the you see how long you have to wait for the interview, because who knows when next they'll give you the interview, and the visa process has a deadline. So you really, really, really have to be careful, because it happened to me and I had to pull off a lot of strings for me to get a passport and still make it. And for those who've got, you know, kids, like, you know, because I'm a single mom, I came here with my son. Of course, I've always had full care of my son. And so up until that point, it never clicked in my head that I would need any kind of documentation to prove that I have him legally with me, I can travel with him. So for me, that was something that also held me. I actually had to go back to the interview a second time. But luckily, it was just within a short period of time. You know, because the first time I went there, I did not have any custody document of any sort. And so the, you know, child trafficking and everything else. So it's always better to just have like custody documents or just, you know, have something legal with the parent, especially if the parent is on the birth certificate. So if the other parent, yes, go ahead.
So what you just explained, that's very interesting, because these are things we don't think about even as we're advising others. Because as you know, on my Facebook page, I try to share like tips and, you know, what to do, things to look out for. And like you mentioned, the names was one of those. I say, well, if you error, you can correct it, but it will cost you time, like you say. And then there are things like the picture. If you mess it up, you're done. Like you disqualified, you're disqualified. It will even show you success when you apply. It will go in as long as the weight is right, but you'll be disqualified. But I find the issue of custody very interesting. So for a mother or a father who's single, and what document is it they need to have, and where do they get it from to say, I am the sole person taking care of this child. I have full custody.
Yes, I mean, it would have to be the court. I mean, it would have to be the court. You can go to legal aid. They can, I think, guide you on what to do. And as long as there's no battle of custody, or, you know, you don't have to go to court, you don't have to go before a judge. I mean, I'm sure there's a process that can be followed, especially if the other parent is willing. So for me, because I didn't know this, I went for my interview and they told me, look, we can't process your child. We'll process for you, but we can't process your child yet because we need this requirement. So I was very lucky. So they gave me two options. Either I start the court process, you know, like either I start doing the legal process, or I go for the interview for a second time with the other parent.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. And so the shortest and easiest was to go for the interview with my son's dad. So we did go to the interview. They interviewed him. They took his statement. He gave them his IDs, everything that they asked for. We gave them, and that was the easier way to do it. But I think to get a legal document is very important. To get a legal document is very important because just this year, when I was about to travel with him to Zambia, I hit yet another roadblock because of not having a legal document. Because I mean, we went to the embassy, gave the statement, we crossed that bridge, but little did I know that I'll come across this issue again, because now we are citizens. Now we got our citizenship, and for me to get him his passport, you know, just because of all this child trafficking, again, I needed the father's consent, whether he's here in America or not, I needed to have it. So, and because I didn't have it again, because I never pursued it, I just didn't have time to pursue it, I hit that roadblock again. So what happened was I had to ask him to go to the embassy in Lusaka again to go and fill out documentation, get a seal, swear you know, the documentation, and that's how they were able to give my son an American passport, because they just want to make sure that the other parent is there. Most importantly, if they're listed on the birth certificate.
Wow.
If they're not listed on the birth certificate, you don't have anything to worry about. But if the other parent is on the birth certificate, you just need to get a legal document. So you see, the time when you're selected and the time when you actually have to go to the embassy, it's a lot of time. So you can actually do the process in Zambia so that you're set, even at the time of citizenship, you're set. So that's been my experience. But finally, we're successful. You know, we did the interview, and the cost at that time, I don't know about now, but the cost at that time was $330 per person. So I paid $660 for both me and my son. And the other thing that is also very important that they ask for is they want you to show that when you come to America, you're not just going to be on the loose. You're just not going to be, you know, roaming the streets. They want to know you've got somewhere where you're going to stay. So that's one of the key things. They want you to show that you've got maybe where to stay, or, you know, somebody can sponsor you. Somebody can, you know, send in their details. Like, for instance, if I wanted to sponsor somebody that's been, that has won the green card, I can send in my pay stubs, my tax returns, you know, just to demonstrate that I can take on another person in my household, that this person is not going to come here and just be stranded, you know, at least as they are getting settled, as they are, you know, trying to look for a job, process all their documentation, they've got somewhere to live. So that's one of the key things. So you either need somebody that lives here to sponsor you, or if you've got money in your bank account, that's also enough, because it will show them to say, look, when I get to America, I can at least, you know, stay in a B&B. I can stay, you know, I'm just not going to roam the street. I've got food. I've got, you know, I've got something to help me get started. So these are some of the things that you have to start thinking of, you know, as you're trying to, if you're interested in the lottery and coming to settle down here in America. Otherwise, I mean, it's a process, but it's something that is doable.
Wow. That's very interesting, because I think I also do follow other platforms that are sharing. I think there are two other Zambian women that I'm following now as well. They share, and they have I'm not very active, so they have a lot more followers. So I like to go read just to see the questions that people are asking. And it's very interesting what you said, even about the bank statements, because I think I've seen people there ask a lot, because they know that when you get usually the other visas, F1 or the visitor's visa, one of the things you present is a bank statement to indicate that you have enough money and you're coming back, and you know, you have enough money to spend there and come back. I didn't know that for the green card lottery, if you don't have a place to stay, someone to accommodate you, then you still need to show some level of, you know, some money, right? So which means
yes.
Okay.
Yes. You have to show them that you know, I don't have a relative, I don't have a friend, but when I get to America, I can stay in a hotel, I can stay in a B&B, I can get, you know, an apartment, at least, you know, something to show I've got something to eat, you know, I've got somewhere to start from.
Wow, so you still need to have something. Or people, like where you're going. Okay, so you get your visa, you're successful, you manage, you come here. So from top to bottom, meaning immigrant visa costs plus air tickets, how much do you think it cost you just to even move here?
It's quite, I mean, it was quite a bit, because I spent, you know, of course I spent money on the medicals, I spent money on the visa, then I spent money on the tickets. And for me at that time, I can't really remember what the cost of the ticket was, but I would love to say in Zambian kwacha at that time, at that, you know, because those days the rate was around 13.
Mm-hmm.
I think I must have spent about maybe 30,000 Zambian kwacha, just, you know, for the tickets and everything else. And for me, I left my son. At first, I mean, not everybody should do this. They can always come with their son or their kids the first time. But for me, I just kind of felt like I first wanted to see where I was going. it's clear that I was alone coming in with a 6-year-old. I wanted to see where, I mean, I had been to America before, but I just wanted to have a feel of how it was going to be. So I came by myself. I stayed for slightly over a month. Then I, you know, when I saw, okay, I think I can get my son over here, I went back to Zambia and brought him with, yes, and got him with me. So I would say everything up until gaining entry into America, I think I spent about maybe 30,000. Yes, or maybe less. I can't really remember the exact kwacha or dollar amount. But the other thing is, when you get to America, you now have to apply for the actual green card. It's after you've arrived, because at the embassy, what they'll put in your passport is an immigrant visa. Just like when you apply to come as a visitor, they'll put in your visitor's visa, they'll also put in your passport the immigrant visa. And that immigrant visa has an expiration. It's 6 months. So you have to make sure. So you have to make sure you come into America within those 6 months. If you don't, that's it. It's over for you. So those are the things. So you really have to plan. You know, like once you're selected, you've got a lot of time, almost a year. You've got almost another year to just think of things, talk to friends, you know, find how you are going to prove that, you know, when you get here, you've got somewhere to start from. So you've got all this time. To be honest with you, for me, I'm such a planner. I'm such a planner. So immediately I knew that, okay, I've been picked. My mind was at work. How am I going to do everything mapped out? Because I didn't want to risk, you know, getting disqualified or things not working out. So you really don't be a last-minute person when it comes to this process. Be a last-minute person when you've entered America. But before that, you have to be diligent. You have to be, you know, alert. You have to be careful with everything that you're doing. So once you get into America, you now have to apply for, you know, your social security card, because you can't work without the social security card. So that's one of the first things that people should do once they get here: apply for your social security card, and also the visa. You now have to apply for the actual green card. And at that time, for me, I think it was $120. I'm not sure how much it is now. And so, yeah. And so, once you apply, they'll tell you where to go for your biometrics, and in no time, you get your 10-year green card in the mail, and you are good to go. You're good to get a job. And you're good to start your league. You know, you're good to start pursuing the American dream.
Wow. Okay. So you came here, you brought your son. So you, I know when you first came, you came to Wyoming, right?
No. So before I went to pick up my son, I was in Texas for about a month. And I mean, it was just a little bit difficult for me to settle down in Texas, because the family that hosted me, they lived in a place called Burleson, Texas, and it was like very far from you know, the central business district. It's hard to get an Uber. There's no public transportation, so it was a little bit difficult for me to maneuver to get started, because I didn't have a vehicle, and you know, I mean, I just couldn't buy a vehicle when I arrived. I needed to work and I needed to make some money, and so I had a friend that lived in Wyoming. And so, you know, as we were discussing, you know, catching up, how's it going, we just realized that Texas is not going to work. So that's how I went to Wyoming. And I actually stayed in Wyoming for 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you've moved to Wyoming. Tell us about the actual adjusting into the American lifestyle, culture, your child going to school. What was that like, and what did you do?
Yeah, I mean, so we get to Wyoming and I have to get started. You know, you have to get started. My green card came and I was out there looking for a job. I was out there looking for a job. And so you see, this is also a message, like, you know, to the single parents, that when you come here, you really have to be ready to be a flexible person. You need to make some adjustments just because of the way the culture is, unless you've got a dedicated person, maybe a friend, family, that is going to help you fully with your child, you have to look for jobs that suit your family life. You know, so for me, I had to, so in our settling down, I had to consider my son's school. I had to consider the area where we live. I had to, you know, consider transportation. And so, I mean, like I said earlier, I'm an accountant. But when I got here, it's not, some people are lucky that they immediately get an accounting job. I have some friends that migrated here that immediately went into accounting jobs, but that wasn't my story. I didn't just sit and say, oh, I'm an accountant. I've got ACCA. I'm just going to wait until I get an accounting job. No, I had to get life started, you know? And so I worked in a nursing home. My son got into school. And the family that hosted me, they were very kind. You know, they helped me settle down. And in no time, I was able to work. I was able to get a vehicle, and we're able to get our own apartment. And that's how we were kind of like settled in. I think one of the things for me that really helped me was I tuned my mind to say, I'm going into a foreign country. I have to be tough. You know, I have to be tough. I have to make it work. And there's no failing. You know, there's no failing. I kept a positive attitude. And also the other thing that helped was being able to connect with people who can give you honest advice. You know, they can give you honest advice. They can teach you what it means to settle down in America. You know, they can teach you how to be responsible financially. Because one thing that I think is in many people's minds, even myself, is when you come to America, life is good. What you see on TV, what you envision in your mind. But remember that you're coming to America and this is going to be your life. You're coming from Zambia. You're coming from whichever country you're coming from. You were working. You had a routine. You were going for work. You were paying bills. That is exactly what you're coming to do here. And so you really have to try and connect with people that can teach you the culture. You know, you learn the culture. Of course, it's a culture shock. Everything is a bit different. I mean, even the name of food. Some foods is different, you know, so you've got a lot to learn, but you just have to enjoy and be on the journey. You have to know that you are transitioning. So a positive mind, connecting with people that can give you good advice is very important, and staying focused. You know, when you get here, learn about, you know, what it means to manage your finances well. And, you know, a credit score in America is one thing that you need for you to, you know, so be responsible. Don't get carried away with the good things that are in America, you know, and you just run away with it. No, you really have to be focused, and you have to be willing to do work. As long as it's legal, you have to be willing to do whatever you can for you to settle down. And eventually you could go into your desired career. And if you're coming here, you don't really have like a career, don't waste time. Explore. There's so many ways in which you can get into school, study. I know so many people who've had to study. Even myself, I had to study, you know. I had to study for me to be able to position myself in such a way that I can be able to get into the market for my career. Yeah, so basically, as you settle down, you just need to have that attitude. You just need to have a positive attitude. Times will be tough. You're away from home, you know, but you just have to hold on a day at a time.
So what did you do to make yourself feel connected to home? Because you're in Wyoming. It's a small place. Yeah. So what are you doing to make yourself connected to your home, to Zambia?
I mean, of course, I was still talking to my family, I was talking to my friends, and yeah, that's just what helped me. That's just what helped me.
Okay.
You know, friends, family, and just those great memories that I made.
That you had.
Yes, back home. And yeah.
So, but was there some sort of Zambian community or African community? I know in smaller towns, when I first came as well, and I was in a very small town, so we had, it was kind of like an African community. So you have like the International Student Club, and in there you find other international students, and for some reason you sort of, you know, you bind together, kind of. When I moved to Baltimore, for example, it's a much bigger place. So we actually do have a Zambians, what do you call it, association. So you can find your community. But I often do tell people, connect with your community and also connect with other communities. Because like of course, says, most of the things I also learned or discovered or where to go came from other communities. It came from talking to somebody from Cameroon or somebody from Nigeria, and they'll be like, oh, there's this, and you're like, wait, what? Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Let me look it up. So, like, very important to talk to other people and connect and learn the lessons. Ask people, what are they doing? Because, like you said, it can be very, very difficult. And the jobs, be very flexible. Be willing to do anything. It's an honest living. It's fine. People have educated their children with those very entry-level jobs, we call them. Some people have retired with those jobs.
Yes.
And it's perfectly fine. Okay. So tell us, Adeline, so how did you get back into the accounting?
Well, I just kept, I mean, I got into school, I did my master's, and I just kept pushing. I just kept pushing. I didn't give up. I continued working at the nursing home. I was working in the kitchen, you know, serving our old friends. And I mean, for me, I took it as a break as well from all the number crunching. So I took it with a positive, I took it with a positive mind. I just kept pushing. And eventually I did find an accounting job in a CPFM where I was doing taxes and bookkeeping. And that's how, you know, this is 7 years later.
Right.
And I'm here and I'm still, you know,
doing the same things.
And I like what you said. When you come here, you have to remember that America is a land of immigrants. There's so many people from so many different countries, and you have to be willing, you have to be open to connect with anybody that you can make a genuine connection with. Because I know some people, they shy away. I don't think I can make friends with people from this place. I just want people from Zambia, or I just want people. No, you have to connect with people, because one thing that I came to realize when I came here is we're just all the same. And especially when it comes to Africans, you know, when we're in Africa, we're like, oh, that one is Nigerian, oh, that one is Kenyan. But guess what? When we come here, that whole Nigerian, that whole Zambia, and that whole Kenya, it just drops. We are Africans, we're brothers and sisters, and you know, you get to meet people from all types of countries that you've never heard of. Like, I never heard of a country called Nicaragua until I got to America and I was making a connection with this girl, and I asked her, where are you from? She tells me she's from Nicaragua, and I'm like, Nicaragua? Where is Nicaragua? You know, but this is the beauty of coming to live in a foreign country. You have to be open. You have to be open, and you don't have to be afraid to relate with people that are not from your race or from your culture or from your country. Just be open, because you learn something from everybody. And at the end of the day, you come to realize we're just all the same. We're just people. Yeah.
It's so funny what you say. You know, when I was in Michigan, I used to be surprised. I'm like, how don't people know Zambia? We were once the second largest producer of copper. Like, how don't you know it?
Yeah.
I realized, oh my God, myself, I don't know some countries. It just like you say.
Yes.
And it happens even during the Olympics all the time. It doesn't fail. I'm like, oh, there's that too. For me, I'll never forget my first manager. He was from Guyana. And I was like, oh, Guyana, I've never heard of it. Well, that's interesting. Okay, we're going to start winding down now. But one thing we didn't touch on was the transition for your son. If you can just briefly share what that was like, the childcare, him going to school, just what that looked like for someone like you who came from Zambia and was working independently, where you can get help, to a place where those things are very difficult. And then so we can conclude.
Yeah, so for me, I think because Wyoming was such a small town, places are so much near to each other. So I was very lucky that I got a job in a place that was near a boys and girls club. So those are some of the things to consider when you've got kids, is that, you know, you can try to maybe target to live in neighborhoods that have those type of places like nearby, you know, like the YMCA, the boys and girls, depending on how old your children are. Because I came with my son when he was 6, so he was getting into first grade. So after school, he would, you know, they'll ride the bus to the boys and girls club. And so he would be there. It would close like at 7 p.m. So by the time I get off work, I'll just swing by there, pick him up, and we go home. So that's how I kind of like maneuvered time and, you know, being me and him.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the advice I would give to some parents that are coming in with children. Try to live in areas where, you know, the kids can go to school, then at least there's some sort of daycare, you know, like some sort of after school program. Yes, where they can go. And also, like, you see, like, when you get here, sometimes it's not easy, you know, like maybe paying for childcare and stuff like that. But there's always help in all these type of places, especially places like the YMCA. They'll meet you at your income level. You just have to be open. You don't have to maybe prove that, oh, I can do it, or you don't have to be shy. You know, just go there honestly and, you know, seeking for help. So that's how it was with my son. And the funny thing is, you know, children adjust, because at first I was so scared. I said, is my son going to, you know, adjust to the culture? Because he was when we're in Zambia, you know, as he was growing up, he was a little bit on the quiet side. So I thought maybe when we come here, the culture shock would be too much. But children, they easily adjust. They're not like us adults. You know, they go to school, they make friends, and they're good. They're good to go.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. And he's growing. And you guys just recently went to Zambia and made another trip. So that is wonderful. Oh, my God, because in the future, I will talk about having sons in America and what that looks like. And I'll be so happy to have you there so we can have. I know you and I have already talked about those conversations on the side. Okay, well, before your final thoughts, you know, there's something I was thinking about asking you earlier when you were a child and you were running around. I wanted to say, what was your favorite fruit when you played as kids in Livingston?
I actually liked, you know,
Marubeni.
yes, Marubeni. We used to call them Marubeni.
Yes.
Yeah, we used Mulberry. To call them Marubeni. So I had a friend that I hope I even pronounced it correctly, because up to now I still call it Marubeni in my head.
I think you just call it whatever the language in the land, because we used to call them Marubeni. Literally, we say Marubeni.
Yes.
And I'll never forget.
Yeah, so that was one of...
They look like blackberries here. When I first saw blackberries here, I was so excited. I thought I saw mulberries. Then I ate them. I was like, no.
This is different. Yeah. So that's what. Yeah, that was one of my favorite foods, because the other thing about Livingston is that it's got a lot of fruits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's got a lot of fruits, because I don't know, maybe it's the bushes, I don't know if it's the woods, but it has a lot of fruits. But that was one of my favorite fruits, although it always got me in trouble, because if you don't put on your shoes and you step on them, they color your feet. And my mom would always say, by the time you get out of the bathroom,
I want that color gone. Even your clothes. It stained your clothes permanently.
Yes,
that's how it was. That is funny. All right. That is so funny. All right, Adeline, before we leave, so any final thoughts to the people playing? I think you've given a lot of advice to women, you know, single mothers, single parents who are trying to apply. But any final thoughts before we leave?
I mean, when you come here, it can seem tough, but just have fun. Just have fun and just have an attitude of whatever challenges you face, don't let them knock you down. Don't let them take away the joy of coming to live your you know, your dream, your desires, and just be open. Just be open to what you come across along the way. I mean, sometimes you will be challenged to do things that you never thought you would do, but it's part of the process. I actually have a quick funny story that just popped in my head when I was talking about my son, because just when I came here, I couldn't buy a car immediately. So when going to school, we had to ride bikes. We had to, like, when going to the bus, to the school bus, because it was about maybe 10 minutes away from home. So we had to find a way to get there. How are we going to get there? I don't have a vehicle. So my friend was like, you just need to ride the bike. And I hadn't been on a bike for years and years. I think up until that time, I hadn't been on a bike maybe for even 20 years.
Wow.
And so, but then I, you know, it's one of the things that I just laughed to myself. And I say, well, this is the American
you want
dream. And I have to, I have to ride the bike. You know, so I'm just saying this as a way of people to just make some moments light. You know, it's not easy to get to where you settle down completely, but just embrace it and just know that it's going to be okay.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's wonderful. No, thank you so much for coming on this platform, and we hope to see you again and again and again, because you have a lot to share. All right. Or you can say bye to our audience.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. I hope I was of great help. And just reach out to people that live over here for advice, and all the best to everybody that's going to be entering for the lottery this year.
Okay. Do you have any social media platforms where people can follow you? Like, is there things that you're working on that you'd like people to follow or no?
At the moment, not really. Okay. At the moment, not really. But I do think about, opening.
All right.
Something to educate people with some of my experiences here.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. All right, people. Until the next episode, it is thank you and goodbye. And how do I say thank you in Lozi again?
Nitumezi.
How can I forget that? My neighbors were Lozi. I can actually hear when people are talking.
Yeah.
I just can't speak it. So I can say litapa, all this kind of stuff. All right.
Litapi.
Litapi. All right. So thank you, everybody. Until the next episode, take care. Goodbye.